3.
Yeah, yeah, it's that time. The time again, every Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time for the I Need More Money radio show. My name is Matt Monero. I am your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Monero. Hey, don't be afraid to buzz us. Call us in the show. It's 866-606-8255. You can hashtag I Need More Money on Twitter. And send us your comments, your questions. Let us know what's on your mind when it comes to money. Because the purpose of this show is to be a wake-up call, right? Wake-up call that says you need more money. And I'm going to help you get it. See, your money situation can be fixed. That's what this show is all about. It's a wake-up call giving you hope that you can have more money and therefore you can have more abundance and more freedom. And you can help more people. That's the real idea behind getting more money. People think it's about making paying the bills easier. It's not. Because sooner or later, when the direct deposit on Friday doesn't really matter that much, we're playing in a different ball game. We're playing in the ball game of what living really is. And so money becomes a part of really living. I guess a question I want to talk to everybody about today, specifically to you, my listener, I want to know, are you doing better than your parents did? I mean, where are you in your life compared to where your parents were at your age? Are you better off than they were or not? I have very specific opinions of this because I actually think we have a responsibility to do better than our parents. And I don't know how that's going in America these days. I certainly think, look, I'm not a world traveler. I don't know what's going on in France or in Barcelona. I'm not a world traveler. That's not something that really appeals to me. I know a lot of people want to see the world. I just don't have that desire. I'm not that I'm a homebody, right? I mean, I hate being at my house. If I spend more than an hour at my house, like I get stir crazy. I got to go do something. But I don't have this need to travel all over the world. But my assumption is that in Europe, there are a lot of people who are not doing as well as their parents. And I just wonder whether that's happening in the United States. Now, I think I've spanked my old man. I mean, I think I just beat him, crushed him on what he has achieved. And by the way, we are talking about money here, but I'm also talking about in who you are as a person. Because sooner or later, we have to evolve. I love the old quote, it doesn't matter where you're from, it matters where you're going. And so at some point in our lives, we've got to stop talking about being a victim of lousy parents or, you know, my old man didn't give me enough time and my mother didn't hug me enough. Look, I get it. All that stuff is real. I'm not discounting any of that stuff. But sooner or later, we got to get past it, right? And we got to actually develop into who are we supposed to be. So that's today's topic. Where are we in comparison to our parents? And I throw it out in twofold questions. One is financially, and the second one is as a person, as a parent, as a husband, as a wife. Are we better than our parents were? And your question might be, what the heck does this have to do with I need more money? Money means a lot to everything. I promise you, if you have more money, you can be a better parent. Oh, Monero, you're crazy. That's just like, that's just the worst thing you could have ever said. No, it's not. The only person that says that is somebody who doesn't have a lot of money. If you have more money, you can be a better parent. That does not mean that you shower your children with more gifts and you make life easier for them. That is not what I'm talking about. But it gives you the freedom to spend more time with them. And really what your children want is just your time, man. They just want to throw the ball with you. They don't care about the new sneaks or the Vineyard Vine pullover. They just want to throw the ball with you. They just want you to watch them play Game of Thrones. They just want you to sit there and play cards with them. They want to cook with you. Maybe they just want to lay in bed with you and talk about what's going on in their lives. Look, I spent a lot of time with my three boys. Last night I was throwing the ball with them in the backyard, and I'm watching this happen, right? I had two of my boys, we go into a triangle, so I throw to one, he throws back to me, I throw the other, they throw back to me, right? They like the triangle piece of it. And I'm throwing the ball back and forth, and I'm not throwing the ball back and forth. You know what I'm doing? I'm just listening to them. And what are they doing? They're throwing the ball to me, but they're also telling me what's going on in their lives. My middle son called my wife yesterday and asked her to pick him up from school because he's developing body odor, BO, and he's not using deodorant yet. I've been telling him for like 3 months, man, you need to start using Old Spice, kid. It's time. But he didn't believe me. He was embarrassed about it. He didn't want to smell good. But yesterday at school, he smelled bad. You know, he did. He called Mom and said, Mom, come and get me before the kids start teasing me. And of course, what my wife did? Ran right out there and got him. Absolutely. Yanked the baby out of school, even though he was my middle. Yank him right out of school. Don't put him in a position where he could be made fun of. Man, I can remember being at the bus stop. I don't know how old I was. Maybe second, third, fourth grade, something like that. And I had one of those denim notebooks. If you remember what those were, right? They're the three binders, but they were blue denim. I mean, you got to really go to the 70s to know that one. They don't even have that stuff anymore. They're all vinyl. But back then, they were denim, and you could actually write on them. And it was cool when you could write on them because any pen would make a good illustration or the words would show up real good on it. And I remember putting it down at the bus stop to just go hang out with my buddies before the bus came. And when I picked it up, I had put it down in a pile of dog poop. And I had to carry that on the bus. And every kid, the whole bus smelled like dog poop. Everyone knew exactly where it came from, and nobody was nice about it. Got teased the entire way to school. I had to take all my papers out, had to try to wipe it off. I couldn't wipe it off. It was terrible. And I remember my mother saying, too bad, it's your fault. I had to keep the notebook. If that happened in my house today, my wife would have washed it with, my wife wouldn't even take it 2 seconds to wash it. She would have been right to Staples to buy the kid the new one. Would never have been an issue. My mother made me keep the denim thing with the dog poop stain on it. So I'm not saying that her picking him up was a good thing. Maybe she should have left him in school and had him get a little razzing from his buddies. Or maybe a girl, you know, say, geez, Jack, you stink today. I guarantee you'd be using Old Spice every day after that, right? Anyway, I completely digress. The point is, sometimes your kids just want you to listen to them. And throwing the ball is not about throwing the ball and giving them instruction. It's just about throwing the ball and listening to what's going on in their lives. And last night when I was throwing the ball with my middle son and my baby, guess what he was talking about? Getting nervous about BO. Thank God Mom picked him up so he didn't stink in front of the girls. I learned what's going on in his life, man. I never remember my old man doing that. Not one time. Ever. So when I ask myself, am I better off than my parents? Man, you're damn straight I am. I crushed that guy. Now, you want to talk about financially? Yeah, I beat him there too. I got a long way to go financially to reach my goals and my potential, but I kicked his butt there too. How about you? How you doing on that money front against your parents? Are you going to live a better life for your children than your parents did for you when you were a child? That's the topic of today's show. We're going to explore that because what I want you to understand is even if you haven't won that game so far, I'm not even saying it's a great game, by the way. It's just a game. But even if you haven't, I want to tell you there's hope. Yes, you can. You can spank it. You can do better than what your parents did for you, for your children, or for yourself. Maybe you don't want children. No problem. Are you making more money than your parents did, your mother and your father did? Are you going to live a better life than they did? And I'm here to tell you that even whether you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, or even your 70s, if you haven't done it yet, I'm here to tell you that it's not too late. You can. You can still spank them too. And I personally think you should want to spank them. I think you have a responsibility to live better than your parents did. There's too many opportunities. The abundance is too great today in comparison to the old days. All of this connects to my upcoming book, I Need More Money, A Middle-Aged Man's Wake-Up Call. It'll be out in the fall of 2016. I'm going to take some callers here. Feel free to buzz me at 866-606-8255. Stick around as we come back for segment two. Thanks. Of the I Need More Money radio show, coming to you Thursdays, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Monero. Hashtag your questions about business, about money, to on Twitter at hashtag I Need More Money. And then feel free to call at 866-606-8255. Today's topic is we're talking about, are you doing better than your parents? And I want to know, are you doing better than your parents in two areas? One is financially, and two is as a person, or as a parent, as a human being, as a living entity, as a spirit. Are you better than your parents? Man, I got my dad spanked in all of those areas. I beat him up and spit him out. Why? Because it was a big motivating factor for me. Have I reached my potential in those areas? No. Have I beaten him? Yeah. I got him whooped. I said a driving force for me. What's your driving force? Because as we were talking about in segment one, gotta eventually ask yourself this question. Did I deliver a better lifestyle for myself and for my children than my parents delivered for me? I think we have a responsibility to do that for ourselves and for our children, to beat our parents. But don't worry about it, even if you're not, even if you haven't yet, it's okay, because this is what the purpose of the show is. It's a wake-up call for us to recognize that we can do better. We can do better as people, we can do better as parents, we can do better as business owners, we can do better in our money situation. I have the premise that more money is better. If you disagree with that, I'd like you to tweet me. Hashtag I need more money. Tell me what you think about it. If you disagree with that, I'd love to debate you on that. Because my guess is if you disagree, you probably don't have enough money and you just don't have the guts to wake up and recognize it. But you're doing the right thing by listening to this show. As you guys may or may not know, I'm in the studio here in Dallas, Texas. My company, Commercial Fleet Financing, we've been in the equipment financing business for over 20 years, 21 years to be exact, and we built a studio right here in our offices. So I have Patrick, our video production manager, with me in the studio. Patrick, how you doing, man?
How's it going? Good morning, guys.
So Patrick, always nice to have you in the studio with us because you give me and our audience a unique perspective. How old are you?
I'm 24.
And you have one child.
Yeah, one child. He's 6 months yesterday.
So. And that was a huge wake-up call for you.
Amazing, yeah.
When you had that baby, you were like, oh my.
I got to do something now.
Well, what you got to do is get yourself married.
Yeah.
What you got to do. You got to put a ring on that lady's finger, pal.
It always comes up, yeah.
You know we talk about that, man. Come on, marry that baby's mama.
Yeah.
But it's important. That baby wants to know that his parents are together forever.
Yeah, for sure.
You love her enough to marry her?
I mean, I do, but there's a whole complex reasoning behind why things are happening. So.
Really? Is it money related?
Nah, it's everything related. Kind of in your past to, you know, my parents are divorced, so there's a big thing between that and stuff. So, I don't know. It's complicated.
All right. What's complicated is you want to make sure that it's going to work out. Is that fair to
say?
Yeah,
I want to make sure that, you know, 20 years from now, we're still together and, you know, he has some family. So, you know, I don't know. It's complicated.
Yeah, I hear you on that, man. Well, your parents been married and divorced just once or more than once?
No, once, and they got remarried to
two people.
So, yeah.
But. Yeah, my mom went down the Rosie three times, baby.
Oh, wow.
Didn't work out three times. My mother-in-law, three big ones too, man.
Yeah.
They didn't work out. So anyway, that's how it plays out, man. You know, sometimes it's not really what they can do for us. Sometimes it's we can break the chain, and that's kind of what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Are we doing better? So you got to hang on to it and make it work, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, welcome to the audience to listen in on what we're talking about here. The concept of today's show is, are we doing better? So let's just talk about it. I mean, what happens if you're in your 20s, you might be saying to yourself, man, I'm only in my 20s. I mean, Patrick, you're 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the least bit concerned about, are you doing better than your parents, right?
No, I mean, because I think back when my mom was this age, she had me when she was 18, I think. So this age, she was going to school. She was trying to get everything right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've already done all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
But I just happen to have a kid now. So.
Wow, you were six when your mother was your age.
Yeah, I think that's the right age or something like that. So.
So you know, somebody's in their 20s and they're not thinking about it, and that's cool. You don't have to necessarily think about it. In your 30s, I do think you need to start asking that question, though. How am I doing? Am I on the right path? I think 40s, you need to say, am I there?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing better than my parents did when I'm in my 40s? I think the same thing applies if you're in your 50s. It's a fair question. Am I doing better than my parents? Have I provided a greater lifestyle for myself and for my spouse and for my children? I think in your 60s, you better start coming up with the answer. Yes, I have, or no, I haven't. You need to start getting some finality there. You either have or you haven't. And in your 70s, you're going to start to reflect and say, I did or I didn't. I wish I did. I wish I didn't. But here's what I want you to know. In all of those age brackets, you can still fix it. Even in your 70s, I believe that you can fix it. I believe you can make up for lost time both financially and emotionally. Man, I know a lot of people who were turds for most of their lives, and then they have a revelation. How many of us have grandparents who our parents remember them being hard-nosed, real tough, and then they were just the most wonderful, loving, softest people? How many of us have parents who were tough and nasty as kids, and then as they get older, they chill out and they warm up and they actually don't remember the stories that you tell them
mm-hmm.
about them being hard-nosed and not exactly warm and fuzzy, right? So the moral of the story is once we wake up, we can realize that it's never too late. It's never too late to fix your money situation. The reason for that is a couple of the steps. So let's talk about what some of those steps are. Step number one is wherever you are, whatever age bracket you are, whatever mess your life has been in, you need to visualize what it is that you want to fix. You got to see it first. You literally have to take the time to see what you want the change to manifest into. The technique is called visualization. I love it. I think it manifests itself almost 100% of the time. If you see it first, you will get it. A huge percentage. The problem is most people don't visualize it. We just live. The second piece is, what are you capable of? What is your potential? Can you beat them? Look, if your father was a brain surgeon, a world-renowned brain surgeon, and you're not, stop comparing yourself in that regard. It doesn't mean you can't be elite or to this incredible level, but maybe you're not. Maybe they did beat you. Hey, stick around for segment three. We're going to continue to explore this topic. Thanks.
9.
Yeah, we're halfway through the I Need More Money radio show. I'm your host, Matt Monero. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Monero and call us at 866-606-8255. If you're watching this replay on cffnation.com, do me a favor and comment. Tell us what you think about it. That's like little energizers for us here as we do the show. It helps us to know that you care about it. But we care about you. We care about giving you a wake-up call that you need more money. You do need more money. Bill Gates says he needs more money. Why? Because he can help more people. Some of us need more money to pay the bills. And some of us need more money to reach our potential. Some of us need more money to help more people. Regardless, don't give me the line that you don't need more money. You need more money. We all need more money. We're talking about an important strategy here today, an important topic. Sooner or later, when you put your head down on the pillow, maybe for your last breath, I'm going to ask myself this question. Did I do better than my old man? Did I do better than my parents? The answer is yeah. I already got that beat. Now, look, I could lose everything. I still have a long way to go. I may not get there. You know, on the news just yesterday, there was the discussion of Aubrey McClendon. Patrick, did you hear about Aubrey McClendon?
No, I didn't.
Very high-powered guy in the oil and natural gas business. He was the chairman of Chesapeake Energy, and his life has come crashing down in the last couple of years. They just indicted him on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. He was driving his 2013 Suburban in Oklahoma City yesterday. The speed limit was 40 miles an hour. He was going, they say, substantially higher than that. He crossed over into the lane. Mm-hmm. He had plenty of room to cross back into his lane. He chose not to. Yeah. Drove right into a bridge. The car exploded, and he committed suicide.
Wow.
There was an argument that when he got indicted on Tuesday that he would not have had enough money to post bail or pay for attorneys. This is a guy who had hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars at one time. So you never know how long you're going to keep it. Now, some people listening might be like, yeah, I'm not even going to try. Okay, I kind of get that argument. But come on, let's not give up that easy. Let's go for it, right? Let's do better than we're doing. Hey, I'm going to reach out to the phones right now. I want to take a caller from my friend Mario. Mario, welcome to the I Need More Money show. I'm Matt Monero. What is on your mind?
Hey, Matt. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Great, great. Well, you know, I think that one big issue that a lot of people, at least in my generation, and probably people who have graduated from college and other higher education in the past decade or so, one issue that all of us are facing is student loan debt. And a lot of studies have come out showing that student loan debt is actually restricting you know, younger people from buying homes, starting families, things like that. And I wonder what kind of topics you've come across, or what kind of concerns you've come across, how often that's come up on your show or in your experience.
No, it's a big deal. Student loan is a major, major problem. Lots of people come out with debt that they have really no idea how to handle the debt or how to repay it. But let's talk about it. I mean, for you bringing up that question, Mario, it makes me think that maybe you're in that spot. So do you have some heavy student loan debt?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my day job is as an attorney. And
okay.
So, you know, I think there would probably be kind of a, you know, just sort of a stereotype or a thought that every person with a law license is living pretty comfortably. But more and more, and especially those of us who graduated law school during the Great Recession, I think we find that, you know, we're burdened pretty heavily. And so I, for example, would see a lot of my classmates graduate and take jobs that they might not otherwise want because they feel like they have this, you know, this huge student loan burden that they have to pay off. And I'm one of those, too. I mean, fortunately, I really like what I do, and I've been really lucky in my own practice. But it's a big concern. You know, and it really factors into all the decisions we make, from when we're going to, you know, where we're going to work, obviously, when we're going to buy a home, when we're going to start a family, and it just sort of trickles down. And I think I think that it, student loan debt is really slowing down the economy in a bigger sense.
Man, I think it's a really interesting point and topic. But, you know, I'm also of the believer, Mario, that a lot of the things that people previously had aspired to, such as buying the house and all that, those things are going away, man. I mean, I just don't think a lot of people are as interested in buying the house with the picket fence and settling down. I think people are far more interested in freedom to do a job that they love, freedom to make more money, freedom to not be burdened with debt, and then freedom to say, screw you, boss, I don't like you anymore, right? It's hard to do when you got a lot of student loan debt. So let's just talk about it real quick. You said that you like what you do. So I would congratulate you for being one of the lucky ones. You know, I have a good friend. I call him the judge. He's a retired judge. He's in his mid-70s now. He practiced law. He's been a lawyer for 50 plus years. He says he hated every minute of it. And when he was 55 years old, he tells the most amazing retirement story. He went into his law practice, small little law practice, himself and two other people, sat down at his desk just like he would any other day. The phone rang, being a client. He didn't answer it. Got on the intercom, called the two people into his office and said, I've just retired. I'm closing the doors. We have 30 days to settle out our cases and sell the practice, and that's the end of it. Didn't want to practice law
that's
for another
really
minute.
Funny.
So how do you feel about it? I mean, you're lucky that you're do you love being a lawyer? I mean, is it really, have you found your calling?
Well, I think that it was a calling for someone like me. You know, I do feel really lucky in that way, but just like teaching, just like law enforcement, I mean, the practice of law is really, really broad. And so the job is really defined. Stuff that that we spend our time on that we enjoy, and one thing that seems to exist in this economy that at least in my profession has existed for a while is that you know, timing, knowing the right people, being in the right place at the right time can make a huge difference in getting a certain kind of case, or maybe in the entertainment business, sort of making the right network connection. And being successful from there. So it seems like whether it's my profession or any other, I mean, a person has to be alert to different opportunities and make the most of them when they come across.
So are you practicing general law, like you're doing divorces, or are you actually doing one of these peripheral attorney things like entertainment or business or things like that? What is your practice?
The firm that I work with represents labor unions, and so I feel like I've been fortunate to get involved in, you know, what I would call the labor movement, and that's something that I feel strongly about, so I feel pretty lucky about that.
And let's talk about student loan debt. I want to come back to your original question. What kind of numbers? You don't have to tell the dollar amount, but is it four figures, five figures, or six figures?
Oh, six figures, man.
It's six figures. So listen, I'm in the finance business. It's a very easy math program. On a five-year deal, it's roughly $20 a thousand. So let's just say that you got $100,000 in student loan debt. $20 a thousand means that $2,000 a month is going to be the nut that you have to pay to get that student loan paid off in 5 years. Would you be able to handle that debt service, $2,000 a month for the next 5 years?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Okay. So really, then we can sort of visualize what's going to happen here, right? So a five-year pay down is not a possibility. Then you got to cut it in half. Could you do $1,000 a month, and now you're looking at probably a 10-year pay down? Could you handle that?
I don't think that that's going to be an option for me. And of course, you know, there are always a lot of factors. I mean, my goodness. I mean, this is kind of the point, right? Is it's overwhelming.
Yeah. Here's the real point, though. The real point is you need to make more money. Because in my personal opinion, in my personal opinion, an attorney who sounds like a very smart guy like yourself, you should be able to handle $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 of surplus money that could be applied to this debt service and knock this thing out in 3 or 4 years. And the only reason I say to even knock down the student debt, Mario, is because of the freedom or lack of freedom that we originally talked about. It's this burden, it's this anchor that hangs around everybody's neck. I actually don't think it is, to tell you the truth. I think $100,000 debt service, whether it's on a house or it's on a car or it's on student loan, is a very manageable piece of debt for somebody. So I'm not overly against keeping the debt service and just having it be manageable. But most people feel like it needs to be paid off. If that's the case, you got to go make some more money, my friend, because think about it. $2,000 a month in debt service pay down for 5 years is only $24,000 before tax. That's after tax. Before tax is probably $30,000 a year. You need to go out to the marketplace, make yourself an extra $50,000, pay off this student loan debt in 2 or 3 years, and be doing jumping jacks for Jesus.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all.
Mario, I appreciate your call a lot, man. It was a good call. I wish you the best of luck in your career, and talk to you again soon. Thanks.
I appreciate it.
You got it. I Need More Money radio show. Call me at 866-606-8255. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Monero. I am your host, Matt Monero, and I hope I bring you hope that whatever your money situation is, you can tackle it, you can improve it, you can get better, you can make more. The key is we got to wake up. Got to wake up to the universal truth that you need more money. In our last segment, we had Mario, an attorney who called in feeling as though he and many other people are burdened with mountains of student debt. He's got six-figure student loan debt, and he feels it's getting in the way of prosperity. Can't buy a house with it, can't get on with some of the traditional things. Here's my argument. One, I don't think as many people actually want to get on with those traditional things anymore. I don't think the idea of buying a house and the picket fence is as appealing to the newer generation as it once was. The second thing I would have for Mario or anyone else in a student loan situation is don't beat yourself up over it. It was an investment in yourself. So if it cost you $100,000 to get better, to be a better person, to be more skilled, to be more confident, that's cheap. $100,000 over your lifetime to invest in yourself? Man, that's nothing. That's nothing. Now, how do you pay it back? So when we ran the numbers for Mario, we basically came up with a $2,000 a month payment for 5 years. Mario said that would be impossible for him to cover. My argument to him is, take a guess. You need to make more money. That's the way it plays out. Because $2,000 a month times 12 months is $24,000. That's after-tax money. That's probably somewhere around $30,000 in pre-tax money. And you can make $30,000 doing a lot of things, especially in your core business, in his case of being an attorney. But in most other cases, you can do it. You could do it just as if you work in as a manufacturing guy. You can pick up overtime hours. That could probably make you another $30,000. Listen, you can tend bar and make $30,000 a year. You can be a valet at a nice hotel and make $30,000 a year. There are lots of things that you can do outside of your primary work if you choose to take on a second job that can make you $30,000 a year, and you can pay off that student loan debt. The last thing I would say about the student loan debt is I wouldn't worry too much about it. This whole idea of paying it off is really somewhat irrelevant. What you need to be focused on is not paying down your student loan debt, although go ahead and pay it. You need to be focused on how do I make more money. And in Mario's case, we were worried about a $30,000 increase in his annual income. My man, if you're an attorney, you need to figure out how to make an extra $30,000. Maybe make an extra $50,000 or maybe make an extra $75,000 and really blow down that debt. Or keep the debt service where it is and then just start stacking and racking that extra cash. Because that really does fall into the system, the I Need More Money system, which is as you begin to make more money, you need to save that extra money. You cannot fall into what I call false positive, which is I'm making more so I can spend more. No, you need to just get yourself out of broke and then you need to stack and rack the cash. That's how it plays out, folks. There really is no unbelievable you know, secret sauce. It's hard work. It's be diligent with the money. It's make more money. It's build up your confidence and then go to the marketplace with that increased confidence and get paid for it. Because as you guys may know, in my book, The Grit, I talk about it. Experts only. Amateurs get crushed. There is no room for amateurs in the marketplace anymore. Amateurs don't get paid. Experts get paid. Amateurs get crushed. So, Patrick, you were going to talk about this little story. I don't mean to call it a little story, but it was meaningful to you. And I said, hey, do me a favor. Hold off on the break. Don't say that story. Let's talk about it on the air. Do you remember what that story was?
Yeah, because in segment one, you were talking about how, you know, your mom made you carry around your...
my poop-stained notebook, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I was little, I mean, my family didn't have a lot of money, so I actually did not even have the guts to tell my parents about this story, which was my backpack. I ended up getting, like, four little jugs of milk, and, like, I just shoved them in my backpack. And then at the end of the day, I realized that it all spilled inside my backpack. And I didn't want to tell my parents or anything, so I kept that backpack. So days and days went on, I realized this smell was coming from me, and people would realize it. And in that compartment, I remember opening it, and it was just nothing but mold, yeah. Like it was like spiderweb mold. And then I had to go throughout the entire school year because I did not want to tell my parents.
Wow. Yeah, but how about washing it, kid?
I mean, I tried. I put water in it, everything, and it smelled bad.
No kidding.
But I mean, I knew our situation. I knew we couldn't, you know. Well, I mean, I didn't know my situation, but as a kid, I didn't want to bother them with my little problem, so I kept it, so.
Yeah, man, that's a perfect example of, I mean, that stuff is probably never going to happen to your son,
mm-hmm. And
I'm not saying that it's because there's so much financial abundance, mm-hmm. I'm just saying that you just wouldn't put your son through that. Now, your parents may have not either, because if they knew about it, yeah. They may have fixed that problem, right? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe there wasn't any money. I mean, let me ask you a question. Was there money? Would they have dropped $20 for you to get a new backpack, or your mother just would have scrubbed it clean?
Yeah, they would have, but again, as a kid, I mean, that's kind of important too, how much kids listen, but they listen to what's going on. And it's like, I don't want to bother them with me buying a backpack, so I'm not gonna bring it up. So.
Dude, I think what you're talking about there is so important. Mm-hmm. It seems like parents previously were not the least bit afraid to say these words, mm-hmm. You know, we can't afford it. You'll never hear that word in my house. And that does not mean that we can afford everything. It just means that I won't say it because I think it's really a defeating mm-hmm. term, right? But man, I heard it all the time as a kid. Can't afford it, can't afford it. Could you hear that as a kid too?
Yeah, for sure. And that's another thing moving forward in the future is like I'm trying to think of all these ways that I cannot be like that to my child. And I want to make all the right moves and it's pretty complicated. So,
yeah, you need to make moves, though. That's the key. We need to be making moves. Don't worry about making all the right moves, Patrick. Mm-hmm. Just worry about making enough moves.
Yeah.
Right? The key is we need to do more. We need to work more. We need to skill up more. And we need to get really comfortable with this idea of we need to make more money.
Yeah.
And none of us should be afraid of it. That's the whole idea of the show and the book. It really is this concept of, man, we need a wake-up call. How can we take money from the bottom of the table, put it onto the top of the table, give strategies that let you know that whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, or even 70s, that I can help you turn around that money situation. Hey guys, as always, we love bringing you this show. I'm your host, Matt Monero. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Monero. Hashtag me at I Need More Money. You can watch the video play of this show on CFF Nation. Under the show heading, I Need More Money. Until the next time we talk, thanks.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.